Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So last week, if you were here, and I hope you were, we looked at a really significant building block in the life of our church. We introduced a new kingdom culture value called His presence is our priority. And we said that as we journey, that in the presence of God, so many things are going to be unpacked. We're going to learn what it is to live in the presence of God, what it is to honor, respect the presence of God, to carry the presence of God, release the presence of God. And here we are this Sunday, something really quite significant, not only in this Newman Church location, but right across Newman World, which is Advance the Kingdom Sunday. What is it that God is saying to us collectively as a church in order for us to advance His kingdom on the earth? God, what are you saying to us? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? And I want us to know that the presence of God has everything to do with the mission of God. The presence of God is the epicenter of the mission of God in your life and in our life. We cannot manufacture a mission. We cannot manufacture a vision. We have to detect a mission or vision. And that comes out of being in the presence of God. As we are in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit can do things like say, now separate for me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have given them to do. But it's only when we're in the presence of God. I want us to know that the presence of God and humanity's mission is inseparable. Can we get that in our heads? Your mission, our mission, and the presence of God are inseparable. All we have to do is go back to the book of Genesis. And as soon as the Lord created mankind and He said to mankind, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to subdue the earth. He said that out of Eden, which was God's relational presence with men and women. What God intended is in a covenant relationship in the cool of the garden where we as men and women who belong to Him, we as His family, we would take His presence and extend His presence right across the earth. You see, the presence of God and mission are inseparable. Are we okay with that? Good. It's really, really important that the purpose of a church is tied to the presence of God. It's very important. Otherwise, we begin to manufacture things that are strategic, things that have to do with our own thinking and our best thinking, but have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We want to be walking in advancements that are in sync only with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says go, we go. If the Holy Spirit says here, then it's here. If the Holy Spirit says stop, we stop. If the Holy Spirit says recalibrate, whatever the Holy Spirit says is what the church does. I have noticed that the strategic advancement of the church is totally dependent on whispers of the Holy Spirit. Come on. The truth is, the strategic advancement of your life is 100% dependent on your capacity to hear and obey. And that's where we're going today. Would you open up with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 17? I want to speak to us from the thought of from the mountain to the nations. From the mountain to the nations. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this. We're going to talk. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I know it's nearly lunchtime and all of that stuff. If you go flat on me, I'm going to get you to check the pulse of the person next to you and let me know. All right, let's read. Matthew chapter 17. We're starting at verse 1. Can I have a little bit more house light if possible, please? I think it's my dimming eyes. Thank you. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking to him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. I want you to underline that, please, in your Bible. They saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. We're going to jump down to verse 14, read a couple more verses. Now, when they had come down to the multitude from the mountain, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. Often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Talk about a straight word. Come on now. When was the last time Jesus gave you a straight word? Would you get offended? Not very PC, is it? Can I just give you a little bit of an aside? If you stop being correctable, you stop being a disciple. Allow God to talk straight to you. Anyway, that was for free. He rebuked them and said, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The first thing that I just want to bring to our attention today as we talk is that, as you noticed, Jesus took them up the mountain, Jesus took them down the mountain. If you read in verse 2 and verse 9, it was Jesus who led them up, it was Jesus who took them down. Jesus led them up so that they can recalibrate, so that they can have an encounter, so they could be filled and know what it is to be in unison with this magnificent, amazing, beautiful God. Jesus took them up because he knows once you and I get in the presence of God, the presence of God is the only place for your life and my life where we recalibrate according to heaven. Guess what happens when you get in the presence of God? When you get in the presence of God, your priorities change. When you get in the presence of God, the motives of your heart change. When you get in the presence of God, what your motivation is, what your endeavor is, what your pursuit in life is, completely changes. You begin to imbibe, you begin to receive, you begin to enter into divine partnership with the life of God himself. In the presence of God, you don't just get an experience, you and I are changed. In the presence of God, you and I are at the potter's wheel, where Jesus begins to fashion thinking, heart motive, pursuits. How am I going to spend my time? How am I going to spend my money? All of a sudden, he's not just this distant savior, but he's this close friend and Lord. All of a sudden, his voice begins to direct my steps. And again, I don't begin to live out of my best thinking as a Christian. I begin to live according to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. So it fashions me. It changes me on the inside. The presence of God, that's why it's the place of mission. Don't become a human doing. First, we have to become Christ-like. I am a human being. Who I am really counts. What God wants to do in my heart really counts. How do I get a heart like the heart of God? Well, it was written of David that he was after a man after the heart of God. Well, how did that happen? Easy. Check out David's values. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, right? And to inquire in his temple. He was a man of presence. If you're a man of presence, if you're a woman of presence, you don't have to labor very much. On the inside, you begin to change. If you're a man or a woman that gives God time in your every single day, you open up your Bible every single day, you give God opportunity to work in you every single day, you journey, you have conversations with Jesus throughout the day. If you become aware of his presence, live in his presence, honor his presence, what happens is the life of Jesus begins to manifest through you. Psalm 140 and verse 13 says, the upright shall dwell in his presence. Well, how do I become upright? Is it by just resolve? Is it like, okay, I'm going to try so hard now, I'm going to grit my teeth and obey God? Good luck. Right? You can try all you want. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Try all you want. That's not how it works. You get presence filled and all of a sudden your heart becomes upright because it gets filled with the life of God and the life of God begins to manifest in your mortal body. Why? Because you soaked in the presence of God. That's actually how it works. We begin to walk in the presence. How do we have a heart of worship? Well, how does Mary pour out a whole salary of an entire year at the feet of Jesus? Of course, why? Because she's getting in the presence of God. One thing she sought after, she got in the presence of God. Therefore, everything she was afraid of losing, she ended up calculating that Jesus was worth it all. That's what happens. I want to tell you, the presence of God, as a matter of fact, will make you so bold. I've noticed this. I've noticed that. So somebody like a Moses that we were talking about last week, he thought, okay, I'm going to give this whole thing called following God a go. I'm going to try to be deliverer. He buried one Egyptian, left his toes sticking out of the sand and then ran for his life, right? Remember that? But then he had a burning bush encounter. And after that, he would stand Pharaoh face to face and say, God said, let my people go. Well, how did you become so courageous, bro? Got in the presence of God, had a burning bush encounter. Book of Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 31, the apostles do exactly the same thing. The apostles were at one point, as we all know, cowards and hiding behind closed doors. But as they got into the upper room, as they got into the presence of God, they had a lot of threats. They had death threats now. Now they're in the big league. And they were being threatened. And then they have this pivotal prayer meeting that we all need to learn from. They all get together. They all get in the presence of God. And they say to the Lord, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And it says that when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with boldness. Hello? How did they become so missional? How did they overthrow that spirit of timidity, that spirit that could have paralyzed the cause of Christ over their life and made them self-preserving instead of self-sacrificing? Well, they got in the presence of God. But we don't want the pendulum to swing. Jesus didn't. The pendulum could swing because who knows that the presence of God's really addictive. Right? I'll tell you what, when the worship team was just leading us before in worship, I was like, Jesus, kill me and take me home right now. I'm there, right? Anybody else there? I was like, there. I'm like, nah, we're not getting out of this. I don't care, I'm not preaching. And then the Lord reminded me, hang on, you don't just go up the mountain, you have to come down the mountain. But it's true. Because you know what happens? The pendulum could swing. We could become so addicted to the presence of God that we just want to stay up the mountain. All we want are beautiful meetings that have the presence of God. We become a church that all it does, now there's nothing wrong with doing a lot of this, but if all it does is get together and just have Holy Ghost goosebumps, we're in trouble. Because that's not the full counsel of God. The same Jesus who led them up the mountain led them down the mountain. Look what Peter does, right? In verse 4, Peter straight out says to Jesus, "It is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." You know what he was saying? He's saying, "Oh, we love the presence of God. Let's just hang out." As a matter of fact, that's pure Old Testament theology. Because you know what used to happen in the Old Testament? Wherever the presence of God was, you tabernacle it. You'd get a tent. And people could come to the presence of God. You'd invite them to the presence of God. "Here's the presence of God. Come to the presence of God." Can I just say we're a New Testament church? A New Testament church does not mean that we turn this into Richmond Tabernacle. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We don't turn this into the tabernacle where, hey, everybody in Melbourne would like you to come to the presence of God. Now, that's beautiful. It's actually required. It's actually necessary. It's the reason that we have meetings. Why? Because we want to come soak in the presence of God, have beautiful moments together, enriched by the wonderful, converting, powerful, sweet presence of Messiah Jesus, for sure. 100%. We're not diluting that. But all I'm saying is, if that's all we did and all we wanted was more meetings while the Lord wants more nations, we're in trouble. That's why His presence is our priority, and advance the kingdom must go hand in hand. They must go hand in hand. Give me a wave if you've heard of the River of Ezekiel, and it's really famous in the book of Ezekiel 47. I love how you guys wave like that. Give me a proper wave. Give me a Mexican wave. I don't know. Give me a wave. Okay, would you open up with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 47? Have a look at verse 12. Look at the intent and the wisdom of God in this. "Along the bank of a river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food." This is the flow of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit flows in upon through His people, this is what happens. Wow. "Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month." I love that. Can you imagine a church? Can you imagine your life and my life? Every season there's fruit. Beautiful, hey, divine fruit. "Because their water flows from the sanctuary." Yeah, sure, it has a source, but water's meant to flow. "Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine." I need us to see that it is always the intention of God that water flows out of the sanctuary. Can you see that? Water has a source, but water is not to become a marsh. It's not to become a pool. It's meant to have a flow. Yet in the sanctuary, but flow out is the intention of God. We enter into this life of divine partnership. I want to introduce us to something that we're going to harp on for quite some time. I want to introduce us to this whole concept as a church of missional breathing. Now, when you breathe, it's really simple, right? You inhale and you exhale. We're going to learn in our walk how to inhale presence, exhale mission. Inhale presence, exhale mission. Go up the mountain, come down the mountain. Inhale presence, exhale mission. I can turn this into a rap. I'm like, can somebody do this with me? Somebody who knows what they're doing. Jabulani, where are you, brother? You see what I'm saying? We're going to inhale presence, exhale mission. Inhale presence, exhale mission. The kingdom of God works like that. Freely you have received, freely you shall. We are kingdom receivers, and then we are kingdom releasers. inhale, exhale, inhale. Imagine if you only inhaled. Just take your physical body, and I'm going to give you an assignment right now. Begin inhaling. Don't stop until I tell you to stop. Don't stop. Keep inhaling. All right, some of you, stop. Can you see what I'm saying? Can you see how unnatural that is as a rhythm? Can you see how not unsustainable that is and ultimately will actually cause you harm? Can you see that? Can you see that the opposite is also true? If I asked every single one of us, please exhale, and you kept on exhaling, you would be in major trouble. There has to be a rhythm of every church. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. Let me take you to one piece of scripture in the book of John chapter 7, famous piece of scripture. But let's read it through the eyes of inhale, exhale. Have a look at the book of John chapter 7. Jesus on the last day, this is verse 37. That great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I'm going to stop there. But can you see that? Jesus is saying, if you come to me, you first do what? You drink. You take in. And then what happens? Out of your heart flow rivers. Incoming, outgoing. Presence, mission. Inhale, exhale. That is the rhythm of a healthy Christian. That is the rhythm of a healthy church. If a church becomes just inward focused, it becomes a very unhealthy church. If a church becomes just outward focused, it becomes lacks all the power that it needs in order to do what it actually needs to do. That maybe this is where the last thing that I want to bring to our attention. Here's what I have noticed. Do you notice that the disciples, their question in verse 19 of Matthew 17 to Jesus was, why could we not cast it out? Jesus came down the mountain, Jesus cast out the demon and cured the boy. The disciples were like, Jesus, we don't get it. You gave us authority. Why could we not cast it out? What is it about us that was lacking in bringing kingdom order? Jesus talks to them about prayer and fasting. You know what he was talking to them about? There has to be incoming in order to have outgoing. You have to inhale in order to exhale. If you want to bring kingdom order to your city, you're going to have to know what it is to live a life of surrender and obedience and live a life of my presence. You're going to do that through prayer and fasting. You've got to bring it in order to take it out. A church that cannot cast it out is a church that leans on leadership philosophy rather than the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A church that cannot cast it out is a church that is into Christians being babysat than into the mission of Christ. That's the only reason a church cannot cast it out. But a church that knows how to go with Jesus up the mountain and then into the nations is a church that will cast it out and will bring glory to God and will bring kingdom orders to cities and nations. Can I commit to us that our mandate to disciple the nations is at the absolute center of Christ-centered theology? If we don't go back to that, if we don't go back to the true rudder of Christ-centered theology, we will enter into man-centered theology, which has God serving me instead of me serving God. It has God serving my happiness and God serving my purposes, God serving my life goals. God, otherwise known as Santa Claus or Jesus, becomes the one who effectuates my fallen dreams. That is known as man-centered theology, where man is the centerpiece of the Great Commission.
But when it comes to kingdom order, God is Lord all by himself. And you and I love him. We belong to him. We are cherished by him. But we are partners with his dream, not mine, with his goal, his ambition, his agenda, his eternal plans, not mine.
That's why it's really important that we never lose focus about advancing the kingdom. Come on. Come on, Pneuma Church. We've had some great meetings, but if they don't lead out of here, we're in trouble. Okay, let me tell you a few things that the Lord has put on our hearts collectively so that we do this collectively. I do want to encourage you. Who knows that it's really important to find out what your personal destiny is? Give me a wave if you're interested in finding out your personal destiny. The rest of you will pray. It's really important. It's the reason why you're dispatched to earth, right? What a shame to miss out on this whole thing called life, miss out on what it's actually all about. You need to know why you're dispatched, why you're here. Here's what I've found out. I've found out that the only way that I can know my personal destiny is when I connect myself to a collective destiny. Seriously. You begin to go, okay, God is doing something through a collection of people that I am sovereignly placed in. How do I fit in that? What gifts and callings on my life, how do I actually operate in that? What part does that play? That's actually how you find out your personal destiny. But let me tell you something about at least four areas this year for our collective endeavor as Pneuma Church. I'm going to list them, then I'm going to unpack them. So area number one that the Lord has called us to in 2024 is to continue to church plant. We're going to continue to church plant. And I want us to be very clear about why we do what we do. We do not church plant. We are not a McDonald's franchise. And we want more branches. Blah. Right? That is not what we're after. Our vision is very clear. 200 Pneuma churches that carry a spirit of revival. Why? To disciple cities and nations. We want to see cities come back to the Lordship of Messiah Jesus. We want to see his name glorified in every place on earth as the Holy Spirit leads. We want to see people that were once without hope come to the glorious knowledge of the beautiful Savior, blossom like a rose, not only be snatched out of hell, but be a terror to hell. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So we're going to plant churches that carry a spirit of revival, that will disciple cities and nations. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to invest in ministries and in initiatives that fuel and develop revival. Come on. Come on. That's still the mantle, the mandate on the house. We're going to invest in and support existing Pneuma locations, those who need it, for the sake of their stabilization as well as their growth. We'll talk about that. The last thing that we will do is that we're going to financially gift another church or another ministry that is not a Pneuma church or a Pneuma ministry, but is part of the kingdom of God. And we'll talk about that. I'll unpack all of that for you and you'll have plenty of time to clap. Okay, let's talk about church planting. One of the places that the Lord is sending us to in 2024, the Lord is calling us to plant Pneuma Singapore. Thank you, Jesus. Pneuma Singapore. Now, if you know anything about Singapore, Singapore is an economic powerhouse in Asia. As a matter of fact, if you're Singaporean, give me a wave. Oh, come on. Come on. Woo. Hey. has about 6 million people. I don't need to talk about the nation of Singapore because it's so prominent and everyone knows about it, but it really is. We're believing that Singapore is not just going to be a church plant, but is going to be such a significant church that out of Singapore, the Lord's going to populate Asia with other churches all over Asia. So there's a real vision for that church plant, even beyond Singapore itself, which is great. We are sending some of our best to Singapore. Pastor Alvin and Amy are going to be leaving Numa Bangkok in order to plant Numa Singapore. I want to give you a little bit of an update. They've already started to hold kind of like, you know, life groups and the rest of it. And they've got like, I don't know, 9-10 families that have already joined them from Singapore and cannot wait for this to happen. So Singapore is going to be happening. And we are bringing Pastor Ben Su to become the Numa Bangkok location pastor in their stead. Pastor Ben Su, I'm serious. You get around him for 2 minutes and you just want to win the world for Jesus. He's a firebrand. Yeah, signs and wonders everywhere and we're going to win Thailand for Jesus. I'm like, yes, amen. Yes, that'll happen. What I'd love to do is just introduce our location pastors and a word from them to all of us because we're a global family.
Hi, Numa Church, this is Pastor Alvin. My family is so excited that we are planting Numa Singapore in 2024. I believe that God has a significant plan for this tiny powerhouse nation in Asia. In fact, in the late 70s, a prophecy was released over Singapore that it would be the Antioch of Asia. I believe that God is sending us to Singapore to build Him a covenant family where His presence can rest on. And from there, we will fulfill our Antioch call to plant more churches across Asia. So I want to invite you to join us, to partner us in prayer as we advance the kingdom of God in the continent of Asia.
Hey family, this is Pastor Ben Su, and I'm the incoming location pastor for Numa Bangkok. And we're just so expectant for what the Lord is going to do. There's already revival happening, but we're believing for an explosion of salvations, of healing and miracles and signs and wonders. So be praying for us. There's more that the Lord wants to do in Thailand, and we will see Thailand safe.
So awesome, isn't it? I think Pastor Ben Su's single, I'm not sure, but anyway. He's awesome. But how awesome is it? The Lord's taking us to a place where the gospel is much needed. The Lord is also taking us to plant another Numa church. We are going to be planting in Orlando, Florida, in the USA. Now, again, you know, for some people that don't know much about Orlando, Florida, they may be thinking, okay, why there? Like, you know, there's so many kind of like churches. Not true, not true. Orlando, Florida has a bit over 2.6 million people. Like Singapore, pretty much kind of like 80% plus are actually non-church attending non-Christians. Now, that's really, really significant. One of the most visited cities in the world, but 300,000 at least are Brazilians that live in Florida. And we have got such a massive heart for Brazil and the Brazilian community. And we're believing that God's doing something really quite special in that area. That we've been journeying with a couple of pastors from Brazil over the last 15 months who are actually leaving Brazil to go plant for us in Orlando, Florida, in order to reach first the Brazilian community, thousands of them, and then through that, bring revival fire on Orlando. And we're totally believing for that. I want to introduce you to Pastor Fabio and his wife, Lily. Let's check that out too.
Hey everyone, this is Fabio here.
And Lily, we are so glad to be part of the Numa family.
And we'd like to invite you to take a part of expanding God's kingdom on earth. Join us in planting
Numa Orlando.
If you have a heart for America, it is your time to join us in the fulfillment of this calling for a discipled Brazilian and Latino community, and American as well. Please be praying for Orlando.
So good. Orlando. Come on. We need to start praying for Orlando. Come on, may the gospel fill Orlando. May Orlando come to Jesus. Come on. Come on. one more place at least that the Lord is sending us to this year. The Lord is sending us to the south of Spain in a region called Cadiz. New Miss Spain will be planted in 2024. I know it's great for your holidays. That's what you're all thinking. But let me tell you a little bit more about Cadiz, which is the southmost part of Spain. It's actually in the 1040 window. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say 1040 window? Yeah. So there's a few of us. So it's latitude 1040. There's a rectangular part of our planet that is known as the 1040 window. It basically has two-thirds of the world's population. It has North Africa, Asia, South, the uttermost south of Europe in it. It has the Middle East in it. Two-thirds of the world's population are there. 90% of people that live there are actually below the poverty line, but it is one of the least evangelized regions in the entire world. No Christian resources, no missionaries, no churches, very, very minimal. And the Holy Spirit is sending us there as part of a solution to see the 1040 window redeemed by the power of the gospel, by the blood of Jesus, by the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are praying. And we're working, we're starting to have conversations with other churches and all sorts of really cool things that in about 10 years' time, the 1040 window is going to be known for something else. It's going to be known for revival fire on earth. It is going to be known for an epicenter of Christianity. God is on it. That's the reason we're going to Spain. Now, let me tell you some more exciting stuff about that. Now, the south of Spain, Cadiz, where we're looking to plant, is 13 kilometers by water from the north of Africa. Now, why is that exciting? Because Pastor Edgar and Pastor Maylin, who are the pastors, the Numa pastors there, couldn't wait to start the work. We're like, just wait until we launch the thing, for goodness sake. So they go down every week to the north of Africa. They take a ferry every week to the north of Africa to teach Spanish. Hola, amigo. Yasur. But guess what? There's already 10 families of another faith that have come to Jesus, that are starting to worship together, that have been baptized. And Pastor Rico called me the other day and he was like, can we plant Numa? And I won't say the nation, but in North Africa, can we? And I'm like, hang on, let's just get Spain started. God is all over it. I'd love for you to also meet Maylin and Edgar.
Hi, we are Edgar and Maylin, and we are living in the state of Cadiz in a little city called Jerez de la Frontera in Spain.
Yes, the Lord called us to plant a church that becomes an apostolic center that equips the saints to advance the kingdom in Spain. Would you partner with us in prayer as we continue making disciples?
So good. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, and then there's also more things that the Holy Spirit has called us to do. By the way, don't switch off. Don't think, okay, we're going to church plant. All the other is the fill-in. That's not true. Every bit of this is so important for the advancement of the kingdom. We also want to invest in ministries and initiatives that basically stoke and develop revival. Right at the center of that is Numa School of the Spirit. So Numa School of the Spirit, not only is it accredited now, praise God, but it also is raising revivalists. It is theologically training the absolute best of the best. Right now, actually, if you're a Numa School of the Spirit student, can I ask you to stand? Just, yes, stand. Don't be shy, stand. Yeah, clap them. Good on you. So good. Fantastic. Bless your heaps. Now, watch this space. That's all I'm telling you, because we see these young men and women and they're being trained. By the way, you don't have to be any particular age. You could be any age, but we're going to continue to invest. So that is an epicenter of sending out champions for the kingdom of God. We're also going to invest into revival conference this year. So we're having from the 4th of July to the 6th of July, we have Pastor Ben Fitzgerald and Pastor Haley Braun. And I trust that those of you who are clapping have sat under their ministry. It's going to be like a bit of a lava container. Come get a dip in the lava and then walk out fire. Seriously, they are incredible revivalists. And we're not just talking about an event here. We are talking about a massive encounter with God to recalibrate and upgrade all our walk with God. So we're going to be investing in that as well. The third area that we're going to be investing into is existing. Some of our existing Pneuma churches, we're going to financially sow into them to ensure their stability, to ensure their growth so that they can continue to be effective in the cities and regions that they're in. There's three of those: San Francisco, Sunshine Coast, and Adelaide North. We want to make sure that they're strong this year and have their needs met. The final area that we're actually very excited about as well is that we want to gift 10% of Advance the Kingdom offering to another church or ministry that's outside of Pneuma. We literally want to take, so whatever the Holy Spirit allows, puts on your heart that we collect, let's say 1.5 million, then we're going to give 150,000 to another church or another ministry, or as the Holy Spirit leads. We will talk about that. If it's $2 million, then 200,000. Why? Now, we're not doing that. Please do not do that so we can get anything in return. Sometimes when it comes to giving, we talk about giving like an investment. We give to get. Please don't do that. As a church, we're not giving to get. We're giving to give. We're giving because we love the kingdom of God. And we're not for 1 minute pretending to be that Pneuma is the kingdom of God. We are part of, we love the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we are asking, Holy Spirit, lead us. Where can we be a blessing? Where is somebody, for example, that is doing great kingdom work, but is short on finances, that we can fuel that work and see the Spirit of God come on it and His kingdom come and His will be done? You want to be part of a kingdom church? Here we are. Is that good? Honestly, there's lots of things that excite me, but that one, you know why? Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly on a personal level. Because obviously as we're deliberating, as we're praying, as we're making these decisions, and the team could tell you as we're deliberating, I was really scared. I was like, that's a lot of money. You know, if we're looking at $1.4 million in order to do what we need to do, and we're saying 10% of our 140, 150, whatever it is going out the door. It's not that I don't care about the kingdom. I'm just a little bit scared, God. Are we going to have enough? And the Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly out of Luke chapter 10, where the whole story about the Good Samaritan and how the priest and the Levite crossed the road. And the reason that they actually crossed the road and wouldn't help was singular. It was because what's going to happen to us if we help? The thieves could still be there. But see, that's a self-preserving mindset, isn't it? But a self-sacrificing mindset of the Good Samaritan was the absolute opposite. It was like, what's going to happen to him if I don't help? And the Holy Spirit challenged me so clearly, let that mind be in you, what's going to happen to the rest of the kingdom if Pneuma does not sow into kingdom cause. So we're going to go for it, amen? Amen. We're going to go for it without fear.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.